for our church today, aren't they, Buckwall? Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. We're having fun today. Church ought to be fun. Hey, speaking of which, while you're seated, I want you to see this slide. You guys already this week, guess what you've done? You guys have already given $65,306 to the Faith for the Future. And so at the end of this today, we're going to give you an opportunity to invest in something great because we needed a church down here. When I think about church, I think about Walgreens on this corner, and there is at the corner of where we're building the church. There's a Walgreens, and there's a CVS, and then a medical marijuana store. And I think there needs to be a Holy Ghost hospital right up in the middle of all of that. Somebody ought to give God praise today. The church. Everybody shout, the church. Shout it again, the church. Royal Palm. I was there preaching last night and had so much fun, and I was talking about, in Sunset Hills as well, talking about the ministry of helps and how that everybody has something that they need to do. They have a gift. They have a talent that they can use for God. Anybody in here got a talent? Raise your hand. Come on, every campus, try that again. How many of y'all got a talent? Look at your neighbor and say, you're talented and pretty. Now look at your second choice and say, you too, you were my second choice. Talent, serving. What's serving? I mean, it's just serving even like ushers or greeters or people that got here early today and set up and tore down. I'm thinking about all the great volunteers, even at Ferguson or Weldon and RPC. People got there really early. Church didn't just happen. A lot of people that come to church, they come late. But there are people who mature in the Lord, and those are the people that do the work of the ministry. Everybody shout that with me, the work of the ministry. When I said ushers, it reminded me of a joke where this woman came to church for the first time at this church. She walked in, and she asked the usher, can I sit on the front row? And she said, he goes, you really don't want to do that. Our preacher's not that good. And he takes a long time. You just don't want to do that. She said, do you know who I am? He said, no. He said, I'm his mother. He said, do you know who I am? She said, no. He said, good. And he took off running. Come on, somebody. That made me think of one more joke. Anybody got time for one more joke? So, come on, raise your hand if you got time for one more joke. So, these ladies are having coffee together, and the first one tells her friend, you know, they're all Catholic, said, my son is a priest. So when he walks into the room, everybody calls him father. And the second woman, you know, she said, well, my son, he's actually a bishop. So when he walks in the room, people say, your grace. And the third woman, she said, well, when my son walks in, he's a cardinal. And they say, your eminence. And the other lady's kind of quiet. They said, is she going to say nothing? She said, well, my son is a bodybuilder and he's ripped. And when he walks in the room, people say, oh, my God. Okay, come on. How many of y'all don't think Joel told that joke today? I don't think he did either. So Tuesday night kind of set up, there's a clip I want to show you where I was preaching on Tuesday night, and I need that clip for you to kind of get that to understand this. So check this out.
Bread, how many of y'all like me and like bread? Can I get bread? People saying amen up in this church today. Pride causes people to go, I figured it out on my own. Got that cool car, got that cool girl. Everything is based on what other people think. And Jesus is saying, hey, be careful. A little bit of yeast, it can cause some major problems in your life. And how many of y'all know your feet are pretty close to the bread? I can tell you're not getting this right now. I got to bring it out. I guess I got to do this to it. So Jesus picks up the servant's towel, and he said, no, we'll do it. He said, no, you had your chance to do it, but your pride wouldn't let you do it because you were too big to pick up the towel. But I'm not that big. I'll go all the way down. Somebody ought to help me right now. And I'll get down, and I'll wash somebody's feet. I ain't too proud for that.
Wow. Come on, somebody. Nobody wanted to shake my hand Tuesday night. Can you blame them? But Jesus walks into the room and he picks up the servant's towel. And what I was referring to is there's two accounts in the Bible where Jesus feeds a group of people. The one account is Jesus fed the 5,000. How many are familiar with that? Raise your hand, all right? So 5,000, we know he took, you know, five loaves and two fish from a little boy's Happy Meal, and he made this whole multiplication happen. Then a couple of chapters over, we find in a different part of town where he actually fed 4,000. Everybody shout 4,000. So he said 4,000 people there. It was a different miracle. But in both cases, he took what we would call helpers or ministry of helps people, and he asked those people to serve. Because somebody had to break the bread, somebody had to serve the bread, and somebody had to put the people in groups of 50s, 100s, and thousands. This is what their job was. It was the work of the ministry. And so what I'm hoping to do this weekend, and especially next weekend, we have an incredible conference. It's our lead conference where all of our church, go ahead, come on somebody, give it up for the lead conference. Chad Veach, you know, he's a great pastor friend of mine. He pastors the Kardashians and all that whole group in Hollywood. He's flying in, and he's speaking, and he'll actually be speaking at the whole church this next weekend, too. But what's really cool is he's actually speaking into the life of our leadership team. So we celebrate all the people in St. Louis and Palm Beach and do this live back-and-forth dialogue with Florida, and it's a lot of fun. But really what it does is it shows the difference between people who just got into the faith and people that actually are growing in their faith, and they say, hey, I'm going to use my life to serve alive. That's why I showed you that Jesus, when he came in and everybody had stinky feet, you know, and they were sitting there and their feet are up next to their face, and Jesus says, hey, we're not going to pretend that there's not an elephant in the room. So Jesus picks up the servant's towel and he begins to lower himself and he started cleaning their feet. When he did that, everybody said, no, 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 I got it, I got it, I got it. And they all wanted to do what he was doing. But the key component that I want us to get as we mature as believers, we need to know that we don't need to just go to church. We need to be the church. So when people come in and they're hurting and suffering, maybe through a divorce, maybe through thinking about suicide, the difference maker is the people at the church that serve. Think about Earth City today. Think about, you know, Sunset Hills. You're sitting in a 2,400-seat auditorium, right? And all these people in this big church, you're thinking, how does all this stuff happen? How does the thousands of people go to this church? It's not based upon me. Years ago, you know, when God spoke it and put it in my heart to go on television and to not ask for money and not to point the finger at people like this, but like this, and the church began to grow, I needed people to come alongside of me, people like Arden and Susie and Julie Thompson, and the list goes on and on, where these dream teamers, people that don't get paid, but they have a passion to say, I'm going to do what Jesus would do, and I'm going to take care of somebody's kid while this single mom comes in. I'm going to give somebody a cup of water, a cup of coffee to make them feel known and needed. Raise your hand if that makes sense. So we find this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that kind of describes this. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, and we think, oh, those are the big guys. Then prophets, oh, those are big, important people. Then third, oh, the teachers, they're a big deal. After that, the working of miracles, the gifts of healings, and here's you, helps in administration. Everybody in all churches shout this with me, helps in administration. Come on, what? Helps. What's it mean? It just means help. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is a helper. He's going to help you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to guide you. But also, he's probably going to speak to you at some point and say, hey, you need to find out what your gifts and callings are and use those to help people that can't help themselves. I was speaking last night at church, and I was reminiscing about a person who in January, I'm a pilot, and my friend, several of my friends became pilots because they're like, oh, that's really cool, and he's pretty stupid, he's a homeschooler, if he could do it, I can do it, right? So they became pilots. And my buddy flew down here from his house and for the weekend. He flew because his wife kept saying, please take me, please take me, please take me. I really need to go to church. I really need to go to church. This guy's super smart. He's a doctor. He's worth gazillions of dollars. And so he really does have his stuff together. I would say that he probably doesn't even have to necessarily go to church, he thinks, because he just got it. He understands it. He gets it. But you go to church because God said to go to church. You go to church because there's an anointing right now that removes burdens and destroys yokes. It's not like at some point you go, hey, I'm so smart, I got it, I graduated. No, that means you're just a fool, right? Because we never outgraduate God. He brought up the sun this morning. I promise he'll set it down tonight in the west. Somebody ought to give God praise today. So you don't graduate from God. You don't graduate from church. So my friend flew him down, and so she begs me to tell him, please tell him I have to come down at least once a month. Please tell him, David, please tell him. I did not realize that. I know he's like me. He's pretty stubborn, and so I just kind of mentioned it. But you know, I'm a preacher. I don't want him to think that, you know, although we've been friends for a long time. Well, 3 months later, he calls me, and he's screaming, oh, my God, oh, my God. I went into the shower. The shower was locked, and she blew her brains out. She's sitting here. What do I do? I just called 911. I don't know. I know that's a really hard story. And I hate it because they were good, dear friends. But here's what I want to get through your head. that there is a reason that God thought the local church was necessary. There was a reason why God thought you and your house needed to go to church. There was a reason why God said you are not just apostles. You're right here with all of you. You're listed with the apostles, with the teachers, with the evangelists, with working of miracles. God said that your job at church is so important that he put you right here in what he thinks is the core foundation of the church. Give it up for all the dream teamers who make that happen. By the way, and I want to make sure that you understand that what you do with your life is not just about, I made money, I got a bigger boat. There's people in here with $300,000 cars, okay? We got people in here today that own boats worth $5 and $10 million, okay? Now, when I think about Anquan Bolden today at our RPC campus, Anquan, okay? Anquan is always at church every Sunday. He's a you know, played at the Super Bowl. He's a legend. He's a boss. We're partnering with him, by the way, at the Anquan Bolden Stadium this year, Faith Church is, to help do what he's already been doing. He's saying, I'm a servant of God. And so we're going to be giving away, I forget how many it is, several thousand turkeys to kids and families that can't afford it. Give it up for Anquan saying, hey, I'm not too big for this. I'm still going to go to church. I'm going to bring my family to church because he's prioritized God. Raise your hand if you're getting what I'm saying. There's another passage I really want you to get today, Ephesians 4. And for the sake of time, let's look at verse 7. But to each one of us, a grace has been given. Christ has appointed it that it may, it says, that when he ascended, he took captivity and gave gifts to people. He gave gifts to people. So today when Trey was singing, that was a gift. When all the other singers, Dylan, Ashton, all the singers at St. Louis and all the churches singing the same songs that were on the screen behind me, those were ministry gifts. But sometimes we overvalue, and we should respect and regard those gifts, but we overvalue that gift because you don't think you can sing. Yeah, but just because you might not be able to sing doesn't mean you can't dance. Come on, somebody can bust the room. This is how we do it. Come on, don't act like you don't know how to do it. Y'all TikToking out there, I see you. So you have a gift. What you do with that gift that God gave you is a gift. Can't do anything about it. Now, what you do with the gift belongs to you. But may I tell you that one of the most satisfying things in the world is to realize that as you grow in Christ, that your life is not your own. I love that song. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself away. So when you grow in God and you grow in grace and you realize I don't have to go to church. I get to go. This morning I was working out my grandson. I wish I'd have brought you the video. Maybe I'll post it after a while on Instagram, except I just thought I had my shirt off. Don't want anybody to be judging me. I have six-pack abs. I just have a protective coating over them. But my grandson loves the mirror, and when he came in, I started playing Disney songs, and he came on, be our guest, put our service to the day. And so he gets in front of the mirror, and he's giving jazz hands. He's not even two. He's doing that. I left the room. He says, Papa, 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 come back. Here's what I'm going to tell you, though. That you have a gift, and God loves it. When you can sing, if you can't sing, if you can dance, if you can't dance, but what he wants you to do is use your gift and talents for him. Listen to me yelling. I'm not against you having money. Half of our church would be gone if I was against you having money. I'm not against you having a big boat. I'm not against, there's one guy at our church that has so many cars that Lamborghini does the show in St. Louis, that Lamborghini introduced their new car in his garage. That's how hot his garage is. He has a Lamborghini hanging on the wall, okay? I don't want to make David mad. He's a friend. I'm just saying, if you prioritize the stuff and you don't prioritize God, you will wind up saying, there's a hole in my soul and I don't know why I can't fill it. And that filling is not just with Jesus, it's serving Jesus. Somebody ought to shout amen in Ferguson today. I see you, Nia. Okay, so let's keep reading. 16. Oh gosh, this is all so good. I'm looking at it going, man, no, I can't. I got to go up to 11. Who'll give me 11? Can I do 11? Come on, somebody. Give me a hand if I can do it. Okay, 11, 11, okay. So Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to do what? To equip his people for the work, 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 work. Shout it with me, every campus. Work, 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 work. All the white people, you don't know, this is a song that is, let's try it again. Come on, somebody. To equip his people for the work of service, so why? So the body of Christ may be built up. Built up. It's until we reach unity of the faith. There is no unity in America. We were the United States of America. Now we are the divided states of America. Because people can't just say, I don't agree with you and you don't agree with me, but can't we just get along? No, now it's like, I'm going to bust a bottle, slit your throat, and bury you, okay? I'm not even going to bury you. I'm just going to hang you out here. I'm here to tell you that the church is the answer. It's not politicians. It's not the political system. The answer is found in the church, 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 church. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. So, it brings unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, mature, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here, blown there with every wind of teaching and cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, and everybody shout this with me, we will grow. Shout it again, we will grow. Shout it again, what?
We will grow.
Speaking of growth, let's talk about Growth Track. Out these doors here, at Earth City, over to your left. It's, you know, Ferguson, what is it? Out the hallway and to the left. I'm thinking of all the campuses right now. You'll find it, Growth Track. It's a program that I designed that, first of all, helps you discover your personality. It's a personality profile assessment. Or if you're like me and you have multiples, you will find those. And you will be able to use it in business. You'll be able to do it in relationship. In fact, I told a guy the other day that's dating. He's dating. He's trying to find the right woman. And I said, I'd make her do a personality profile. I really would. Because I would want to know, is she like Barbara or is she like Janet? And I can know that because I don't like working with Barbara at work, but I do like working with Janet. By the way, I don't think either of those people work. The only Janet I know is Jackson. Can I get an amen? Okay, so the personality profiles help. Go to Growth Track today. We'll no longer be infants tossed to and fro by the waves. Verse 5, instead speaking the truth in love, and we will grow in every respect to maturity. Have you ever seen people that were old, but they were babies? Guy had gray hair. Vest, cut off, Harley, Hell's Angels on the back, but you're 12. Now, I don't want to be the guy to tell you that because you're a violent, huge 12-year-old, but you're 12. I mean, you know, that's wisdom, right? The Bible said there's with wisdom, there's length of days, Jeff. But I have seen some kids that are 13, pretty near grown. Because their mom did this, dad did this, and then they had a Shania Twain. I was just watching her deal on Netflix the other night, and now all the bad things. Her dad dies, her mom dies, and so here she is, a little teenager, forced to try to raise these kids. She's a teenager. So I would say at 17 and 18, Shania was already there. She was like 17, but she's like, feel like a woman. That's a country music. The white people should have said amen. Come on, somebody. My sermon, you get country and rap. Mix those together, you got crap. Can I get an amen? Okay. So she was forced. So my point is, at some point, you have to have mentors speaking into your life. You have to have pastors speaking into your life going, hey, listen, come here. It ain't going to work if you don't go to church. Why? You going to heaven, you don't have to like go to church to go to heaven. I agree. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sleeping in the garage makes you a Mercedes. But going to church actually makes your conscious mind hook up to God, and it's a clarification moment once a week to say, you know what? I kind of got off over here, and I was about to bust a cap in that guy. Come on, somebody. And I got mental clarity right now, and I know who I am and who I serve. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah to this right now. And so, but church doesn't work if the people don't work to church. What if you came today and said, here's the sermon? Crickets. And then I came out 15 minutes later and said, guys, I forgot. I was singing Be Our Guest with my grandson. I forgot what day it was. That would be irresponsible of me. That would be an infant thing to do. That would be immature to do. There's a lot of people counting on me to do what I do. Well, let me say this to you. You were listed. You just saw it in two passages. You were listed amongst the prophets, the evangelists, the working of miracles. So here's my question. What are you doing in the church? I'm in the secret service. I'm not in the Lord's army. Not a lot of people know about me. I'm a special ops guy. We never see you. You need to go where you're known and needed. Everybody shout that would be known and needed. So one of our core statements at our church, we'll talk about it next week as well, is people connect, families grow, lives are changed. People connect, so you come in, hopefully, when I first started the church, I was watching Cheers, and it says, I want to go where everybody. So I wanted you to come in and feel known and needed, because I'd went to places where nobody said hello, nobody said goodbye, and so I felt like people needed to be known and needed. So people connect. Then families grow. So when you grow, how do you grow? You grow by being in a relationship with fellow believers. My friend today, Jonathan, Nicole had a word today, a word of knowledge, and all. Jonathan looked at me and said, the Holy Spirit told me the same thing this morning. He would never know it. Come here, Jonathan, jump up on stage real fast. I want to show everybody that if God can speak to a hippie, just jump. You're long-legged. You don't even have to come fancy. Just come off the side. Jonathan, long-haired hippie. Speaking to his six pack, I ran into him this morning on the beach, and I said, "Put your shirt on. When you see my wife coming, put your dang shirt on." But you'd also never know that he's actually a real estate tycoon, and is one of the guys that's given $1 million to this new project. You never know that by looking at that guy. Come on, give it up. Here's my point, though, is the Holy Spirit is taking cool people and doing cool things, so the church is no longer going to be a nerd bunch of people on the backside of the tracks. We're going to get people that are full of God and say, I go to church. Guess what? I'm a millionaire, but I go to church. Guess what? I'm also in the parking lot. I also change diapers. I don't have to be on stage to be seen. Yeah, I'm Anquan Boldin. Yeah, I played in the NFL, but guess what? I'm not too big to serve. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed all my sins away. Look at your neighbor and say, look like you need a washer. Look, you need a wash. You smell bad. Okay, I got to hurry. All right, I want to go to, this is Exodus 18, verse 1. Now Jethro, this is not the guy from the Beverly Hillbillies. This Jethro is the father-in-law of Moses. He heard that everything that God was doing in Moses' life, so he shows up to Moses. Verse 5 says, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, got together with Moses and his wives, came to the wilderness where he was, and camped near the mountain of God. And so now they're having this koinonia, they're visiting. Verse 7 says, Moses, when he met his father-in-law, when he saw him, he ran up to him, he kissed him. That's a sign of honor. We need to bring honor back. I believe at our staff, we always say, honor up, honor down, honor all around. Honor the janitor, honor the homeless guy, honor everybody. Part of our problem is there's no honor. And if there's no honor, you kid, I don't go to church because you don't honor God. Guess what? You're going to go to court, and you're going to say, yes, your honor, no, your honor. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said it again. Now, he goes through all the hardships in verse 7. Then, verse 9, Jethro was delighted. Everybody shout, Jethro was delighted. I want to say this, that everybody needs a father to say, attaboy. So a minute ago, I was bragging on Trey. I could have sang some of that stuff. I could have kept going, but I want Trey to be celebrated. He's single. People need to see that he's got a job. Come on, somebody, help me right now. I'm just kidding. Don't send emails. He is engaged. A lot of disappointed women are like, dang it. But everybody needs a father. By the way, that's why in groups, it's important that you get connected to the church, because you could be a father to someone who, some of our ushers at Earth City, some of those kids, they are young and they need a father figure. And even adults need father figures. Everybody needs attaboy. Raise your hand or attagirl, okay? Does that make sense to you? I just wanted to point that out so you're a better leader. We'll talk about that next week at Leadership Conference if you come. By the way, you have to register tomorrow. It's free, but if you don't register tomorrow, too bad, so sad, you're out, because we have to order shirts for you, food for you, and if you're not there, you just be shirtless and hungry. We don't want to deal with all that. Verse 13. Then the next day, Moses took a seat to what? Come on, all campuses, shout it. Moses took a seat to? Serve. So if Moses, the guy who parted the water, Moses, the great prophet, took a seat to serve, how many of y'all think maybe you need to take a seat to serve? So he's judging all the people. They sit around him from morning till evening. when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone? You sit and judge. I want to point this out to you. When you serve at church, there are a lot of different smart leaders at our church, at every campus. When you serve at church, you're around a lot of smart people, and they can speak in your life because they've had a child that age. They've started a business, whatever it is. I mean, even in I took the church's loans. The Holy Spirit spoke to me in January before I knew anything about the feds, and we took all the loans and we consolidated them and refinanced them at a ridiculously low rate. Even the powers that be in the organization said, why are you doing that? So my friend says, I wouldn't do that right now. That's stupid. Nothing's changing. But guess what? Now that it's 7%, I'm looking pretty smart. The Holy Ghost will make you look like a genius. So when you get involved with the right people, you'll get around the right conversations, and then you'll have the right outcome. Raise your hand if it makes sense. Wave it. Okay. Now, I know my time's up, but the problem is I have no other services in St. Louis. I got like 5 to go, and the same amount of caffeine has hit me, so you might be here a while. He says, why do you sit here and judge? Verse 16, I was joking. I won't be long. Whenever they have a dispute, he said, they bring it to me. This will cause your organization to stop growing. Me and I, me, I. I'm saying it for a reason. Me, I, no, we. So you need to get your organization from me, I, to we. So at organization, at all the lobbies today at the portico, there's people there hugging people and they're loving people. Why? I'm not there and I can't be there. But we have people who realize that some people are suicidal and they might not be here later if we don't show up and grow up so God can facilitate a miracle in their life. Come on, everybody give God praise today. So good. I'm really rushing this because I sang and we jacked around and I told jokes and man, I really was all over the place. Keep going. Who said that? Thank you. We all did. Thank you. Somewhere in one of our campuses, somebody's like, shoot those people. I need to go to lunch, for God's sake. Verse 17, we're almost done. Moses, the father-in-law, replied, what you're doing is not good. In other words, this is going to kill you. You and all these people, you're going to wear yourself out. The work is too heavy for you. You alone can't handle this. Listen to me and I'll give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must have people's representatives. They must represent God and bring their disputes to them. And then verse 20, every church, shout it with me. What's the first two words? What?
Teaching.
Shout it what? What?
Teaching.
What am I doing to you right now?
Teaching.
I'm teaching you. Teach them his decrees and instructions. Show them the way they are to live. And they are to behave. But select capable people. It's like people that were intelligent enough to actually register for the conference. From the people. Men who fear, that word means respect, God, trustworthy, men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as the official over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. This sounds like systems, instructions, policies, and procedures. Verse 22, have them serve as judges. And when something gets really difficult, you know, they can't handle it, then bring it to you. So if you want your organization to bottleneck, if you want your house to bottleneck, if you want your life to bottleneck, be me, I, instead of we. So when you share the information and you give people a clear vision that they can run with, then their whole life gets better. Now I'm going to give you 7 real points real quick. I'm going to do it in like less than a minute and a half. So if you got a note, or you got your iPhone, you can take pictures at all campuses. They're going to put on the screen. What we find from what I just read, when I lined out, what did I learn from this? Here's what I learned in verse 18, 19. One, become a person of prayer. When he started praying after his father-in-law talked to him, listen, one word from God can change your life forever. Number two, I learned this in verse 20. Number two is commit to communication. You have to communicate. I was talking about pilots a minute ago. One of the things you have to do is you're in trouble, you got to aviate. Don't quit flying. Then you got to navigate. Don't hit anything. And then thirdly, you got to communicate. Hey, tower, here's my problem. So you have to communicate. So communicate to God, but also communicate your vision and make it plain for everybody. So lay out that vision. Number three is lay out the vision. Number three is lay out the vision. Number four is develop a plan. Like now we know the vision is next week we're having our leadership conference. It's going to be like a big Tony Robbins hype, amazing, fun party, amped up food, gifts, surprise moments, but a lot of teaching to celebrate the people who have served the last year. I want you to be a part of that. You're like, I haven't done anything. You know, it's like the story in the Bible. You don't have to earn it. You can just get in and say, hey, sorry I missed out on it, but I'm here not for the shirt. I'm not for the party, not for the teaching, not for the leadership. I'm getting that, but I'm actually saying, hey, in 23, it's going to be about me, and I'm going to get God's plan on me and do what he's called me to do in the leadership conference. Right? So five, we're almost done. Five is select and train leaders. Everybody shout that. Select and train leaders. So we have Dream Team directors. They're the people that direct it. And they help pastor the church. Number six is release leaders to do the work. We want to release it. Saw that a while ago. Trey was here early. We released him to sing. Release work. Seven, here's the last one. Do what only you can do. Do what only you can do. Everybody shout that with me. Do what only you can do. I watch a lot of people do this. I know recently there was a guy who sold his business for an obscene amount of money. Millions and millions of squazillions. But, you know, he's kind of bored. He's also very tight. You know, you can have money, but really you don't have money. Money has you. Bizarrely tight. And this is the guy that would go to the BMW store just to get the free ice cream. People weren't going to buy a car. He's just that guy. We're going out for ice cream. So his gutters were dirty, and he needed to clean them. So a few months back, he climbed up the ladder, fell off the ladder, and became paralyzed from the waist down and will never, ever enjoy his life like he should. So now he's living in a hell saying, why did I do it? I can't believe I did it. And so he hates himself because of that last line. Don't do what you should not do. I wanted to advise everybody at our church. As you get older, you ain't got no business climbing a ladder. They make no new parts for you, dingbat. Hire it done. Some young buck. Y'all see kids fall off a roof, pop back up and go, ha! Give me some licorice, right? You fall off the roof, you're having a bedpan, a nurse, rehabilitation. Don't be doing stupid stuff. Don't be doing stupid stuff. I went a real high octave there. I want to do it one more time. I like it. Don't be doing stupid stuff. That's a word for somebody slipping and dipping. Don't be doing stupid stuff. Stop it. Stand with me. That's my big closer there. Figured that'd be a nice place to put it. Okay, I got a couple questions, all campuses. Okay, first of all, how many of y'all feel like, wow, I didn't realize how important the ministry of helps is? Raise your hand high, right? So we have to do things. So some at our church is so cool because some of the people that you would never guess, this person's a doctor serving in the parking lot. This person over here is an anesthesiologist doing this. There's some highly, highly developed and trained people that are right on the scene saying, like Anquan. I know it's Anquan Stadium, but I'm still going to church. Why? Don't want my kids to be crazy. I know they will do what I do. And that's oftentimes where people fail. It's not that they don't know what to do. They just don't do it long enough to see the results. We all know how to lose weight. How many like me? You've seen all the videos. You know how to lose weight. Even all the way back to Richard Simmons and his little short shorts, right? Remember this guy? We knew all that. We know exactly what to do. The problem is we're watching it while we're eating Girl Scout cookies. Can I get an amen? By the way, let's thank God for Girl Scout cookies. God, we just thank you, Lord, for Girl Scout cookies. Those two tubes, right? So we know what to do. We just don't do it. So I want to encourage you. I'm proud of you at all campuses today. Time change the weekend. Like, oh, I got an extra hour of church, extra hour of sleep. I believe I'll go to church today. No, you need to be so committed that if you lost an hour of sleep, you go, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I know I need it. I know my kids need it. I know everybody needs to go to church. So you can register today. You can go in all of our lobbies everywhere, online. I think some of our online church family are driving from all across the country because it's a big event next Saturday, all day at Sunset Hills and here in Royal Palm. It's going to be outstanding. And of course, as I said, the weekend services will be free. I'll be there, but Chad's going to be there. And I'll tell you, he is an incredible communicator. You're going to love him. And he's just a fun, fun guy. Can I pray for you before we go? Stretch your hands towards the front. Holy Spirit, I ask you, God, to just take the word that was sown in the hearts of the people today. And as their pastor, God, I ask you, Lord, to touch their mind, their marriage, their mouth, their their mood, and their ministry. God, I know that every person in here, they're called to do something significant for you, but maybe, God, you haven't even allowed their business to do what it's supposed to do because they would have got derailed and not realized, wow, I need to prioritize, like Anquan, and say, look, I'm not going to lose my mind if I get wealthy. I'm not going to lose my mind if I become famous. I'm just me, regular guy, regular girl. But I know God is the reason that I'm here. God, I also pray for every need. I hear this by the Holy Spirit that there's roots. There's roots in your heart that counseling couldn't fix. And there's deep-seated pain and roots that you just can't seem to get away from. And I hear the Lord say that as you continue to be in His house over time, those roots every week are getting plucked out, pulled up. And in the year of 23, you will be what you are called to be. In Jesus' name.